Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
So we've been talking about self-control and the need for that. And self-control, remember, is not, I'm going to grit my teeth and get this over with. Or I can discipline myself, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to go do self-control. No, self-control just begins to flow out of you. And it's really how you're responding in life. In other words, I used to have a bad temper, and I'd cuss people out and get them told, you don't do that anymore because you have self-control. You start to see their value, and maybe even sometimes you see that they don't understand. They don't understand where you are, so you can give them grace and mercy that they need. You see that? God's trying to mature us up and grow us up so our expression of Him is healthy wherever we go. Remember, remission. Remission is when you call on the name of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And then submission. Submission is I'm in the church, the body of Christ, and I'm coming under God's mission. See that? That's what submission means. I'm under authority. If you don't want authority in your life, you can't do God's will. Because if you can't obey man you can see, you'll never obey a God you can't see. And that's why it says submit to God in 1 Peter 5 and resist the devil and he will flee. You can't resist the devil if you don't submit first. Submit to God and resist the devil. That word resist means frustrate. When you submit to God, you frustrate the devil. And because you showed up because you're submitting to God. And how do you submit to God? You serve your wife. You serve your wife like you're serving the Lord. You serve your husband. Yeah, you got you a husband. You're serving them. You're doing everything you can to serve them. You're there to help them. They're there to help you. You help each other. You serve and submit to each other. You serve people in the church. You submit to people in church. We're to submit to one another. Am I making sense? When you start submitting, your wife is glad you come home. She's patting her foot. Can't wait for you to get home because you're bringing something good up in there. And your husband, he can't wait to get home and see you. Am I making sense? It's just paradise. When you get two people working on it, it creates paradise because that's the way God designed it. When you're operating against His design, it's frustration and confusion all the time. But when you begin to walk in alignment with His design, He puts it all together and He begins to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit out of you. Now, we're talking about self-control today. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been pastoring in this church going on 24 years. I've been pastoring I was at Ginghamsburg Church pastoring for probably 4 years before I came here. So going about 30 years. But then I was an evangelist before Ginghamsburg out preaching in churches and jails and prisons and stuff. So I've been doing this for a while. But this is something I see that we have to really pay attention to because self-control, it affects everything in our life. And we're going to look at this today. Comparison. Okay? Now let's look. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves, are not wise. hear that? So give me the next one. And then we'll go back to that one, Mariette. And pay attention. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. You guys remember what I preached on last week? Being a peacemaker? Quickly give me Romans 5:1. Now really capture what I'm going to share with you right now, okay? Because this was what I didn't give you last week, but I really want you to catch this, because if when you understand this, it helps you in your being a peacemaker, okay? Because we've all been called to be peacemakers, right? Am I making sense? Every one of us. See, you're either a peacemaker or a peacekeeper. You don't want to be a peacekeeper. Because if you're a peacekeeper, if you're a peacekeeper, you're avoiding conflict. You're avoiding conflict because you just want them to keep loving you. See, really, it's not about their needs or helping them. It's about you. So you avoid conflict and you think it's you're loving them and you're not wanting to. But you see what you're doing? It's you. It's your own selfishness that you're protecting by avoiding conflict. Because real love is rooted in truth. When you want the truth on a matter, you will confront a situation. You see that? But people that don't want the truth, they have fear of rejection. And that really is all about them. You hear me? That's not real love. So when you don't want to confront, you want to avoid. You know, I just got home. I ain't got time for that. You see, you know what you're doing? It's you. You're being selfish. It's all about your own selfishness. You're not really loving that person because you're to esteem others better than yourself. Huh? That's what a peacekeeper does. I don't want to be a peacekeeper. You see, here's what you do is you confront the problem. Get your spouse or your boss or whoever. You're not the problem. I'm not the problem. The problem is here on the table. This isn't taking place, but here's the problem. I need you. You and I are, we're going to face this problem and we can overcome it. And if you approach it that way, there is nothing you two can't handle. Did you hear me? And that's real love, because real love is always after the truth. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, love rejoices in the truth. But if you're always avoiding the truth, it's your own selfishness. It's selfishness and it's self-centered. It's pride at its height. And that's what the devil was. Are you listening to me? So we don't want to be peacekeepers. We want to be peacemakers. You still with me? Now look, peace, to be a peacemaker, you got to understand this here. Therefore, having been justified by faith, you listen? Having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God, what? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is, I'm telling you, I've seen this over the years, and this is why I need to tell you, because we need to understand this. Justified. The day you called on Jesus and you accepted Christ, repented of your sin, remissioned, you were justified. Did you get that? You were justified. Now listen, if you go down to the courthouse down here in Sydney, you can go down there and you know what? You'll find a scale. You find a scale at any courthouse where, you know, trials take place. Yeah, you ever see those scales? You know what I'm talking about? All right. So now look, here's the way this works. I used to think, even myself, long years ago, I used to think, well, the reason that scale's on there is when they go to the judge, he gets the good and the bad. And when the good outweighs the bad, you don't go to jail. No, but you never thought that, did you? Huh? Come on now. See, a lot of people think that's what that is. But pay attention. Justified is this. This is it. On one side of the scale, the prosecuting attorney and the defense attorney puts all the information on that side. And then on the other side, the right side, God. God is just. They weigh and measure all that information against God. And God is just. You see that? And perfect. But now pay attention. The day, and the word just means morally equal. Morally equal. Did you hear me? Morally equal. That's why your past, it doesn't matter what happened in your past. I don't care what, I don't care if you're a prostitute. I don't care if you're a drug addict. I don't care any kind of abuse, whatever you did in the past. It doesn't matter when you understand what we're talking about. Now look, therefore, having been justified, you were justified the day you repented and gave your heart to Jesus. Look what it did. Here's the scale. Now it brings it right in to balance. You became morally equal with God. Did you get that? You are morally equal with God the day you got born again. Now look, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Here's what happens. After all that takes place, you go out and you don't take it serious, or you don't begin to get plugged in and get in a life group and become a member or get planted in a church. You get out there, and through your ignorance, the Bible says that the devil, do not be ignorant of the devil's devices, and that his devices are, he's going to try to help you understand you don't have peace, and he'll make you feel guilty and condemned, and he does it through your own ignorance. And so now you don't feel good enough to go to church. You, I don't belong there. I just can't do this. This is too much for me. It's not, and it never will be. You need to understand that's the enemy putting pressure on you. The Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The word condemnation means sentence to death. How can you have a sentence to death and a sentence to life at the same time? When you got justified, now you have a sentence to a life, life eternal. You see that? You'll never die. Are you catching that? Now think about this. When you understand that and you keep growing in that, guilt and condemnation never is a problem anymore, because you're starting to discover who you are. You're starting to know who you are, your true identity. You seeing this? The enemy will take your peace only because you gave it to him, and you give it to him through your ignorance. When you're always wanting to argue, your peace is gone, and the enemy's using you right up under your own roof. Am I making sense? So now think about this. When we understand this, we don't do that anymore. We're free to encourage them and even begin to help them. I'm going to stand out there and help Donnie to do dishes. I'm going to stand out. I'm going to clean the floor. I'm going to do what it takes to help her. I'm going to do the laundry. I'm going to do what I have to do. Does this make sense? I was studying the other day, and she asked me what I wanted to eat. Brought it to me, put my feet up, and gave me something to drink. I said, man, I love my life. Not just because of that. It's just the peace that was there. You understand it? It's the peace and the enjoyment of just being in a relationship where we're both after this thing. There's nothing better. And all that other stuff, it doesn't matter, because you're secure and you have peace, and it's powerful. When you begin to understand what God has done and who he is and who he's calling you to be. Now look, back to our scriptures. Now look. For we dare not classify ourselves or compare ourselves with those who command themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Now, this word wise is not man's wisdom he's talking about. He's talking about God's wisdom. You see that? He's not talking about conventional wisdom, going to school and learning. And no, he's talking about God's wisdom. You and I need God's wisdom if we're going to be stable and secure. Now watch this. He says in Isaiah 33:6, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. That's the times we're in right now. In other words, when you get God's wisdom and the knowledge of God, it brings stability, security, scruples. You're stable in a very confused, uncertain world because you're not comparing yourself. When you have God's wisdom, you don't need to compare yourself with anybody else and start trying to want what they have. You're secure in who you are. It says in Proverbs chapter 2, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. God's wisdom will deliver you from the evil way. You see that? You can't get to God's will on your own. And you can't pick it. You can't say, well, I'm gonna pick my gifting. I'm going to pick my calling. You can't pick it. You have to be in church and discover it. You have to discover it. It's discovered. It's not something, well, I'm going to do this. Okay, you go on with your bad self. No, you have to discover this. You see this? And through God's wisdom, he will reveal it to you. You see that? You can't pick it yourself. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now listen, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. When we get that wisdom, it's for our glory, not even God's glory. It's for our glory. What's the word glory mean? Well, God originated and intended. You get that wisdom, now you're becoming what God originated and intended you to be. Did you hear me? It says, for even the rulers of this age don't understand this wisdom. Talking about the demons that crucified Christ. For the rulers of this age, had they known, they would not have even crucified the Lord of glory. See, they crucified the one. They crucified the one. And they defeated themselves through their ignorance. And you know what? That's what we do. When we don't get God's wisdom, we destroy ourselves through our own ignorance. Are you hearing me? I'm preaching good right now. Amen. Not because I'm doing it. It's because this word is alive. Amen. And God, look, God knew this before the ages. Before you were even born. He ordained you before the ages. What's ordained mean? Ordained means authority. He's given you authority through his wisdom to overcome the things that have been overcoming you. That's what that ordained means. He says in Jeremiah 1:5, he says, he knew you, he formed you, he sanctified you, he ordained you. He's given you authority to fulfill God's will. And when you get his wisdom, you begin to understand the authority he's given you. But when you don't understand and you remain ignorant, you're always frustrated, discouraged, broke, busted, and disgusted. Am I making sense? So you can't do this yourself. He says in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 2, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. You see that? God's trying to show you the things your eyes haven't seen. He's trying to show you the things your ears haven't heard. He's trying to show you the things that haven't entered your heart yet. He's calling you to the highest version of yourself. You see that? It says, but God has revealed them, uncovered them. That word revealed as an artist uncovers his masterpiece. Everybody is God's masterpiece. He created you. He wants to uncover his life, your life, to you and show you who you really are. And he does it in the church. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what does man know the things of man except the Spirit of man? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. For we have not received the Spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Did you catch that? Everything you need to know is going to come by His Spirit, and it's going to be revealed to you. You can't pick it. Did you see that? It's hard work. It's not easy to become you. This is why this church is a church that calls out trauma. It calls out triggers. All these things that people use addiction and weed and all these things to medicate. No. God's word by the Spirit calls that out, because that trauma and those addictions will control you for the rest of your life unless you get into a Bible-believing church and the Word of God call that out of you and you deal with it. Am I making sense? When you deal with it, that's painful. It hurts. It's difficult. I guarantee you what Maya's gone through has been difficult. It's painful. But I tell you, when she gets to the other side, God is going to use her in a hospital to deliver, set free, and be a peacemaker right where she's at. Are you listening to me today? Come on, are you listening? It's hard to become you. See, this is what people want to run from church. A church like this. Oh, well, you know, I need to go somewhere else now. It's time for me to find another church and, you know, they're just a little too much over there. You know, they want to raise their hands and get loud. But you know what? When you run from that, you'll never experience God's will. You can't run from your suffering. For our light afflictions are but for a moment. Temporary. And they are working for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight in glory. For we don't look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. You hearing that? The things you go through are working not only for you, but for other people. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience through suffering. All the suffering he went through, now he's free to deliver you. And that's the same way it is in your life. The suffering you're willing to go through, now you're free to help someone else. When you want to just sit back and go climb and isolate, go do your own thing all the time, that's selfishness. I'm spitting now. But I'm telling you, when you come in here and get with a group that everybody's doing this, man, does it become a blessing. Am I making sense? That's why there's so much joy in here. Am I making sense? Come on, am I making sense? Because it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter if your parents dropped you off on a doorstep at an orphanage. If you've never known them, don't blame your parents for everything. God has you there here for an assignment. Listen, the devil wants to control your assignment so you can't contribute to the world. You see, when you begin to understand who you are, you start making a contribution. You start adding value to people and their life. Amen? Don't you want to be like that? Or do you want to be one of them ones? Oh, here they come. Oh, well. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. Always take, 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 take. There's some people, they just take everything. And they don't contribute anything. Am I making sense? That's because they're, you know what? Bless their heart. They don't understand. God will give you grace and mercy even for them. Sometimes, you know, it gets a little difficult. Your response is your responsibility. So now look, give me the next one if you would, Marriott. We, however, will not boast beyond measure. Brag. You see that? But within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. A sphere which especially includes you. This, listen, This is what God has for you and has appointed for you. You see that? In other words, we don't want to try to have what everybody else has. We're not going to compare ourselves with anybody. I'm going to start minding my own business. In 2 Thessalonians, mind your own business. You got to mind your own business. You start minding your own business, boy, that takes a load off of you. You ever get around somebody and they're just talking about everybody else's business? And they're falling apart like a $2 suitcase. But they're talking about everybody else's business. What this one isn't doing, what that one's doing. But theirs is falling apart. But you see, when you start minding your own business and get in God's will, yours starts to come together. You see that? You're not going to be an emotional wreck all the time. You're going to be praising God and focused and know where you're going and know who you are. Your identity. This is all about identity. This is why there's an identity crisis in America. God put you here for a reason. We got that clear, right? Isn't that good news? You can't blame your problems on your parents. I used to blame all my problems because I was raised without my mom. I could start drinking in sixth grade in the shed across the street. Got drunker than a monkey, and I loved it. Alcoholism ran in our family. My dad never drank, but it was in our family. My dad didn't drink because he didn't like what he saw. So he chose not to, but it still was in our family, and it was on me. Am I making sense? And I started drinking in high school. Man, I'd get drunk in high school. I was in bed, and my dad wakes me up. Son, where is my car? I couldn't even tell him where my car was, where his car was. An Oldsmobile 98. That was a pretty nice car back then. Out there, no, don't even know. Where's it at? Well, I don't know. I'd say that's pretty lost, wouldn't you? You can get so out there and so far away from God. Man, your life doesn't make sense at all. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? You may not have had that, but you had something else. You see that? And when God got a hold of me, all that went away. I don't need any of that anymore. Because I like clarity. Well, when you have clarity, you can see where you're going. You can see who you are. And you start looking in the mirror, you start loving you. You start liking you. You start beginning to, sometimes you don't need appreciation from other people. You just are appreciating who you are because you like you. And you're still free to give people what they need. You see that? Because your value starts to come up when you discover who you are. And you don't have to compare yourself. Now look, you ready? So now, you have a purpose and an assignment from God. And this is what I'm trying to help us understand. We are not just here to get possessions. You're not just here for the acquisition of material things. You know, cars and houses and furniture and clothes and jewelry and all that. Nothing wrong with, you know, but that's not. You see, that's why when you do that, I remember I built a house. I remember I had dreams. I bought land. Tip City, I bought land. Got to where I paid cash for it. Saved, worked hard, built a house. Oh, this is it. Okay. That wore off.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sidney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.